Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome in here. It is the grid, sportsgrid.com, the early line. Dane Martinez, Joe Ranieri here. I want to thank you guys so much for stopping by and hanging out with us as we begin the week. Feeling good. We had some excitement over the weekend, at least. We've got UFC coming down the pike here this week, which is fun. And then, of course, next week, get ready. NASCAR, it's going to seem like 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week. And then slowly but surely, we'll be getting back into a rhythm and hopefully have some clarity here regarding the NHL, the NBA, and of course, still pushing a little bit closer to college football, getting an understanding of that as we have heard over the weekend, more and more about what needs to happen in order for college football to go off on time. So we'll give you that information. But all in all, the weekend was pretty exciting that we had some great horse racing going on, some excitement there. I know a lot of people across the country trying to get back into a rhythm there and getting ready for what might be at least a step forward here and trying to get back to their normal lives here as many states and cities across the country have begun to open up little by little. So hopefully the weather held out. Hopefully you guys were able to get outside, have some fun, and hopefully you won a few bucks there over at the Arkansas Derby.
Sure.
You know, but we also heard, Dan, we did get some more NFL information coming out, and to absolutely no shock to anybody, anybody that was really surprised about Leonard Fournette not being that option, not getting picked up, I don't know what to tell you, because that, quite honestly, we knew that was coming. The question is, what does... They declined his fifth-year option, which is going to make him, at this point, a free agent running back next year, Dane. And right. You've got to ask yourself, do you think at some particular point between now and the start of the season, is he even going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar? Because we all know how running backs rate in the NFL. And if teams don't necessarily want to deal with him, or want to have, he would have made, I think, $8 or $9 million if they had picked up the option. So that's out. Now he's probably going to want to push his way out. I mean, let's face it, Fournette's probably going to be like, just get me the hell out of here. But unfortunately, what team is going to be in a position now to go, sure, Leonard Fournette, come on, play for us, and then we'll go ahead and negotiate a long term. Like, he's in no man's land right now, Dane. That's the problem with running backs.
I agree with you, but listen, it's the same. At this point in time, it would be the same thing. Remember when the Jags traded Jalen Ramsey to the Rams, right? And the Rams made the trade, but then they knew that it was a horrible trade unless they lock him up long-term, right? So I don't know what team is going to trade for Leonard Fournette, knowing that he's kind of on the last year of his deal, and then, you know, go sign him after the sunk cost of, you know, whatever draft pick it was, to trade him. I actually think more like the option Joe, is that the Jaguars, you know, squeeze every ounce out of him they can, give him a ton of carries this year, and then just know that he hits the ground, you know, he hits the market, and he's not their problem anymore. But I don't think that any team is going to actually spend a draft pick to go and get Leonard Fournette and then have the same headache of how to negotiate a longer-term deal.
I'm with you. I'd kind of be shocked if that was going to be the situation. But that's the reality of running backs in the NFL. And right now, I mean, let's face it, between the injury concerns and everything else with Leonard Fournette, it's not exactly like, I'm sure some teams would love to be able to have him. It would be a nice addition. Sure. But if you're Leonard Fournette, much like Melvin Gordon learned, like, okay, what do you think the market is going to?
Right.
What exactly do you think you're going to get? And it's probably not going to be anywhere near what you think. And then the reality is going to have to set into, yeah. And anybody who doesn't think the Jags are completely in a position right now to go, yeah, we might add a veteran quarterback. We might. You are in for one quarterback and one quarterback only. And I do believe that quarterback's not even on the team yet this year, Dane. I do think that everything they're going to do is to, come on, guys, let's yeah, let's go ahead and build for the future and get this quarterback out of Clemson. Because the minute they trade him, and I think they will, the tank is on, folks. And everybody should know that. And keep that in mind as you begin to look at some of these numbers moving forward with teams playing Jacksonville this year.
I think that's a good point, Joe. And here's the other thing. And, you know, a lot of people are connecting these dots of maybe Andy Dalton signing with Jacksonville.
Yep.
But honestly, listen, if your goal, and I'm with you, Joe, I think the real next quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars is Trevor Lawrence or Josh Fields,
right?
Or someone else. So to be honest, I don't know that bringing in Andy Dalton actually helps their long-term vision because, Joe, in the same way that, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick messed around and won some games for the Dolphins when they were trying to tank, I think Dalton has actually the ability to do the same thing. If you have him under center for 16 games for the Jaguars, they're going to win more games, you know, and they're going to be drafting fourth or fifth, not number one like they want. So I actually don't know that you connect the dots of Andy Dalton necessarily to Jacksonville, but I think it may compromise their long-term plan to make it better.
It's going to be, even still, even where we are right now as we begin in May, guys, I think there's going to be some very interesting opportunities for some teams and for some players. And I certainly think for bettors, Dane, that we're going to be in a position to be able to maybe take advantage of some perception versus really the reality of what is going on. And listen, the more people that I talk to, in the NFL pool of reporters that cover certain teams, man, the craziness in Tampa Bay right now is getting to the point where even as excited as a lot of people were, like, oh, Tom Brady's coming and this is all good, and then Gronk, and even they're starting to take a step back and be like, it's out of control, and it's causing a lot of overvaluing across the board. And while they do think they're good, even the folks that follow the team and are in that area are like, it's nice on paper, but so was Cleveland last year.
Right.
And you can go down the list, and even they're starting to go, I loved it when they were a 7.5-8-win team at best when it started. He's like, and now he's telling me, he's like, it's ridiculous. You know, some people think that we're going to be looking at a minimum of 10 wins in this year, and it's like, whoa, slow the horses here, guys. They haven't even practiced together yet. So now we're starting to get to the point where even the people covering are like, let's hold down here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, Joe. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at our friends on FanDuel are right now the third choice to win the NFC at 7-1. Okay, so all of a sudden, and I get it, Tom Brady is huge, Rob Gronkowski is huge. I understand what they have, the idea that Jameis, if you almost take him out, it's addition by subtraction, given the turnovers and the close losses that they had last year. But this is a little bit much, right, Joe? I mean, 7-1 to win the conference?
Yep.
Think about that. Behind only New Orleans and San Francisco, I think that has, to your point, gone a little bit too far. We'll see if there's a self-correction in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think it's happening. It's going to come here, guys, because even the people who follow the team are like, yeah, the people are nuts here. Like, and I get it, because you've got the perfect storm of, you know, people having to been quarantining here for a couple of months. All of this, the NFL moves forward, and The excitement and the Patriot fans is another one, Dan, that they just continue to be dumbfounded. Talked to a few of them, too, the diehards. Yeah. And, of course, my first question was, so you're going to go out and buy a, you know, a TB12 Bucks jersey, right? Because you're such diehard fans of Tom Brady, right? And they got that like jilted girlfriend kind of look going on. Like they felt
woman
like
scorned. Yeah.
Like how dare you leave? So like now it's funny. They're like 20 years. Like they want to hate him. They're having that crossroads and that hard time going getting there. But and listen, when you think about it, what would we have thought if Derek Jeter went to play for, you know, the Baltimore Orioles? So I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. But at the same time, just come to the realization, you're Patriot fans first. You're pretty much Tom Brady fans next. But, boy, they really want to blast them, but they're holding off doing it. It's got to be tough for Patriot fans. I'll give them that.
It is, but this is not without precedent, Joe, you know?
Right.
Like, 49ers fans, did they hate Montana when he went to Kansas City at the end? Did Colts fans hate, you know, Peyton Manning when he went to Denver at the end? Think about Brett Favre for the Green Bay Packers fans, who not only left, but went for a while to their hated rival of the Minnesota Vikings, right?
Yep.
And the New York Jets. Like, you have to understand when the page gets turned. Joe Namath was a Los Angeles Ram at one point. This happens, right, when stars move on. Jordan played for the Wizards, right? So, I mean, I think the right thing is to be thankful, be appreciative of all the golden years you got with that amazing Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
And then, listen, understand, though, that it is a business, and this happens even to the greatest of all time.
Always good to see New England Patriot fans buckle a little bit there and get caught, because they're not nearly as verbose as they have been here over the last,
right,
20 years. And we forget, too, they did go a little while there without being relevant in between, you know, the first half of Tom Brady's career and the second half. So it's like back to reality. Now you know how the rest of us feel when it comes to that. But it will be fun to actually, I can't believe I'm saying it, it'll be fun to watch a Tampa Bay Bucks game and the excitement that's going to be around. And also, one other thing I forgot to mention, if you don't think the Jags are actually moving on, funny who they brought in here in the backfield, too, over the weekend, Dane, is Chris Thompson. Remember Chris Thompson?
I do.
Jay Gruden, big third down pass-catching back out of the backfield. Yeah, he's on his way there, too. So all that production that people are like, oh, Fournette, what are you going to do? He's a great pass-catching back. Yeah, they are doing everything in their power to just plug some holes right now, Dane, and that is about all you're going to get from him.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And you mentioned Chris Thompson as a pass-catching back, right? He was very solid in that role in Washington. And remember, that is a different kind of back than Leonard Fournette, right? So Leonard Fournette on first and second downs, you know, those running downs. Now, finally, on third down, you'll probably see more of Chris Thompson. So, you know, I always think about this from a fantasy standpoint, Joe, right? That even means more issues for Leonard Fournette because he's sharing some of the touches, you know, a bigger piece of the pie with someone who can fill that role. But Joe, it also makes me think about Washington, because he had that role in Washington. So, you know, if a guy like Darius Geis, for example, can stay healthy, that is an incredible boon to his prospects as well, because Adrian Peterson is never going to be that pass-catching back, right?
Never.
Darius Geis could be. So the idea that there's more potential for a guy like Darius Geis. And then the last thing I'll say on this, remember Washington also got the kid Gibson. Out of Memphis in the draft. And if you remember, he was one of those slash guys, right? Played wide receiver and running back there. So he could be a skill set to go into that role. Maybe some opportunity early in the career there in Washington for Antonio Gibson as well. Yep. When one door opens, another when one door closes, another opens in the NFL.
It certainly does. And one of those doors, of course, is been closed on one Andy Dalton. It does. He is waiting to see. And we're all kind of waiting to see what door opens up for him. But we did finally hear from Andy Dalton over the weekend and tried to figure out. We hadn't heard exactly what his thoughts on this would be, but it appears that the position he's taking is that, listen, there was no trade for me put together because everybody knew the Bengals were releasing me. So, and I listen, he's got a point. I mean, everyone, we never discussed Joe Burrow to anybody but the Cleveland, Cincinnati Bengals, rather. So it does make sense. Why trade for somebody when you know as soon as that draft's over, they're going to release him? So I do think it's a interesting point, even though he was still under contract and he said that hurt him having that 1 year left on the contract. But he said most teams are front offices knew they're going to, as soon as they draft Burrow, they're releasing him anyway. They're not going to keep him 1 year or not. And it also signals to me that Andy Dalton plans on starting or at least competing for a starting job someplace there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. But I do believe it wasn't an indictment on him. It was an indictment on the situation more than anything else.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing I would push back on, Joe, is like the idea when there was no trade kind of partner for him. I still wonder, like, what about, like, who's the backup quarterback for Cincinnati?
Right.
Yes. Like, this idea, you're talking about Andy Dalton wants to still be a starter. Yeah, and I buy that, right? That's why he asked for his release if there was no trade market. But are there really any starting opportunities left, Joe? You know, we're talking about Jacksonville. We talk about New England and stuff like that. Once all those seats get filled, wouldn't it be smart for Andy Dalton to just play out the damn contract and be the backup in Cincinnati as opposed to saying be the backup in, oh, I don't know, New York or Washington or Oakland or anywhere else, right? So, I mean, I still don't know if Andy Dalton played his cards right. I'm not sure yet, and we're not going to know until we ultimately find out where his landing spot is and if he's a QB1 or if he has to wait like Cam Newton for an injury or somewhere else. But I wonder why the notion of the Bengals retaining him to be that bridge or be that mentor, I wonder why no one is seeing that possibility.
Yeah, it's all up to him on what he wants to do. I do think, and the argument can be made, that they did him dirty here a little bit, given the fact that they knew this the entire time. He's got $17.5 million, I think, coming to him in that final year of the contract. There is really no way they were ever going to keep him. And instead of giving him an opportunity to get that initial surge of job opportunities, if they would have done it prior to the draft, they really didn't. They kind of released him after the fact now. And it's like, oh, great.
Well, he asked for his release.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't even had to have done that. You knew you weren't keeping Andy Dalton in any way, shape, or form. And now all the guys sitting there hoping and praying, all right, what's left now? So not exactly a classy thing to do by the Cincinnati Bengals, who a guy that has given pretty much everything to that city, to that organization.
But at the same time, Joe, maybe what they were trying to do was find the trade partner and get something back for him in that time, right? When you're saying, oh, the right thing to do by him might have been to cut bait early, and that's fine. But at that point in time, maybe they were still seeing if they could get a fifth-round draft pick for him. Yeah. And that would be smart by the organization to see if they could get anything for him. You know, it's not about – I mean, it kind of looks on its face like maybe they were doing him dirty, but maybe they were just trying to get any kind of compensation for him in the last month or so.
Yeah. Well, they knew the only way he'd be coming back is less than the $17.5 million they would have had to pay him. So he'd have had to it was never happening. Unless something happened to Joe Burrow, it really was never going to be in the cards for Andy Dalton to continue in Cincinnati. And listen, that, you know, no, it's a business at the end of the day. I mean, it would have been nice if they could have given him an opportunity, but it is what it is.
Jadeveon Clowney, right, didn't get the offers he wanted and now may go back to his team. Right. Everson Griffin is not getting the offers he wants and is now thinking, oh, maybe I will go back to Minnesota. I'll be very interested to see if Andy Dalton sees that in the next 2 months, there is no market for his services, right? Like, Jacksonville don't want him. New England don't want him. No, and the only deal he could get is as like a Jameis Winston $1 million a year backup. I wonder if he's in that situation, if he comes crawling back and be like, hey, Cincy, give me $2 million, I'll be your backup. You know, we still don't know what kind of opportunities and options Andy Dalton has on the open market.
It remains to be seen, but also that humble pie. What are you going to be, Andy? What do you want to do? You can play, but who are you going to play for and in what capacity? So much to be determined there.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. all major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back in here to Early Line on the Grid. It is sportsgrid.com. He is Dane Martinez. I'm Joe Ranieri. Thank you guys very much for stopping by, hanging out with us here as we still push forward here, first week in May. Kind of crazy to say that, and I still find myself asking what the hell day it is. And but hopefully all of that will start to get a little more normal for all of us around the country here as looking forward to some UFC fights coming up this weekend on the 9th. And really what it seems like might just be a NASCAR race a day beginning next week. So that too is coming up. We are expecting maybe some golf to resume. We know we still got some horse racing. Great weekend of racing from Oaklawn. So a lot to be excited about. And I'm fairly confident now, Dane, that at some particular point we are going to begin to push forward on both the NBA and the Major League Baseball season. In fact, I know the NBA and Las Vegas. Remember when we talked about this, Dan? We talked about Vegas as an absolute possibility that maybe we kicked it around. We knew Orlando and Disney were a situation, but Vegas, we said, they were another place absolutely in a position to be able to house them and keep everybody in a position to be able to quarantine them like that. But the only problem was, is Vegas was, they haven't even opened yet. And so while Florida's kind of in a different ball game, MGM went ahead and they went out and said, hey, listen, we'd have no problem putting together bubble the whole courts, the teams, the spas, give them an opportunity to stay in the place all in one. You know, they pretty much laid out a plan that would allow the NBA to kind of stay in a fanless bubble in the MGM property, which is, you know, is more than just MGM. Obviously, they have a number of different locations there. So they could keep everybody, the families, they said, the, you know, the broadcasters, the TV guy, they blew out a plan that would absolutely pretty much put a complete bubble over the property and not allow anybody in or near them, but at the same time would allow the ability to be able to play those games there. So now all of a sudden, while Walt Disney and company certainly have laid out a plan, it looks like now Adam Silver has, well, some options. And one of those includes apparently MGM and the ability to be able to set them up same type of style, same way, just now a different location. So we're getting closer, Dane. It feels like we're getting much, much closer here to a decision to be made one way or the other.
Yeah, and listen, this is exactly what we described all the way in the beginning of this, right, Joe? Mm-hmm. I remember when I kept on talking about, like, the Truman Show?
Yes.
Right? And it doesn't matter if that Truman Show set, the bubble, is in Disney World, on Vegas, on an island, on a cruise ship, in the Bahamas. It doesn't matter, right? The conditions have to be the same. Mm-hmm. That all the players and all the staff and families, broadcasters, whatever it is, maids, cooks, whoever it is, they're all in the bubble. and then they're quarantined in the bubble to be able to produce this product that is the NBA or Major League Baseball, right? So I've always thought the idea of having multiple bubbles is a good thing, right? And the same thing about Major League Baseball.
I agree.
Was going to be all the teams in Arizona. Then it was Arizona and Florida. Now we're hearing kind of this other divisional alignment that has Arizona, Florida, and the Central, like kind of having using Texas if need be, right? The more bubbles, the better, right? But that is conceptually what needs to happen. So maybe we got an option in Disney. Maybe we got an option at MGM or on the Strip. Wherever it is, right? Dana White thought there was an option in the Native American reservations in California.
Yep.
So, but regardless, the local governments have to be a part of it, right? Because if you think the MGM, and that's cool, but what if the Vegas mayor or the Nevada governor says the same exact thing than Gavin Newsom did to the UFC? So that's why these all have to be together. But absolutely, wherever the treatment show bubbles are, that's where they are, and the more the better.
And it's it makes sense. They're talking about using the Mandalay Bay Resort, 4,700 rooms that are connected to two other hotels. It's a kind of a three hotel situation there with the courts.
Right.
They'd also be the Luxor's right next to it. They would use that, which means families, everybody would be able to do it. Catering teams, and makes total sense. I love it. I love the idea, and I think certainly. You know, and I got a lot of friends there in Vegas right now. This would that would be something that would be a tremendous boost to that city, and certainly to the folks that are there if they can pull it off. You know, it's one thing for a league to be ready for a bubble situation. It's a whole nother thing, unfortunately, to have the bubble ready for the league, because along with that, testing and staff, and how do you,
that's
know,
what I keep saying, it has to be a collaborative thing that's decided. The league is one thing, the players are one thing, the local government have to be involved, you know, whatever it is. That's why, and you know, Joe, last week, remember when like LeBron said something, I was like, great, that's nice that he could say that, but all of these things are going to have to be collaborative efforts. It's nice for, you know, Dana White to say something, or Gary Bettman to say something, or the governor of Florida to say something, or the head of ESPN to say something, but it's not going to matter unless the union's involved, the team, everyone has to be at the table figuring out a collaborative solution.
Yeah, the thing that made Disney so interesting was the fact that it's private property. So it keeping the fans out, and that was always one of the big concerns about any plan was, being in, because you know fans are going to be I mean, they're going to be ridiculous anyway, so, but the ability to, that's why you couldn't have it like in an arena somewhere, and you get a private piece of property like Disney World there, it is very easy for them to shut it down, police it, and make sure that everybody in that bubble is safe. But they didn't have anything else offered that could do just that, and that's really kind of where it starts. But when you have a 4,700 room, three hotel, clip there that is privately owned, that all of a sudden gives you an opportunity now to have some competition. So you got to have those things in place in order to consider playing. And at least those things right now are in place, either Orlando or Vegas.
Vegas.
Interesting time slots for both, I would say. Interesting on how to view, certainly from a TV deal on where that would work. But it's maybe even both, Dane. You know what I mean? Maybe even a possibility.
Well, I think it would be both.
You know what I mean?
You know, have more split it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
The same way as in Major League Baseball. We talked about Arizona and Florida, right? I think you do need that, because what happens, Joe, with any of these plans?
Yes.
I'm seeing right now, by the way, you know, we've talked about Bundesliga wanting to open up on May 9th. Three players from one team have tested positive.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, it behooves you to have options, right? So whether if Vegas and Disney World are an option, because you know at some point someone's going to turn positive in one of these options, and we're going to have to think about how they shut it down, or how they move, or how
Absolutely.
They continue to adjust and have contingencies. So the more options, the better, Joe.
Yeah, the league also, the association shut down postponed the draft and the lottery and all of that.
Yeah.
They were supposed to have a combine. But they have moved and said that's not going to happen. They usually have that, I believe, sometime this month. I think it was the end of the month it was going to be scheduled. And that makes total sense, obviously. They'll be able to push that down. The draft, I think, was set for June 25th. But all the things that lead up to that draft We're going to get ready to happen this month, but if you can't get guys to combines, it's going to be kind of
hard. It's a ripple effect.
It really is.
But also, Joe, I mean, you can't figure out the draft lottery unless you know if you're going to finish the regular season, if the season standings are done or not. You can't do the draft order. Yep. You know, you can't do the draft if you don't know what team priorities are, if there's still this piece of a season where someone could have a dramatic injury, right?
Yep.
There's ripple effects. These things have to happen in sequence. And that's what I've been talking about for weeks now, that at some point you compromise next season.
Yes.
Right. Unless you want to just bail on this one, because, you know, one thing triggers the next. Right. The regular season triggers the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But things like free agency, things like draft position, things like the summer league, these are all triggered by, you know, they're just next in line. So we got to figure out, are we playing it out and it's going to push back next season?
Right.
Or are we kind of throwing some of it out the window to preserve the start of next season? It can't be both. It's got to be one or the other.
Well, it can. And speaking of next season, the NBA, it was reported too over the weekend that, it's getting closer and closer to being a reality. And that is maybe pushing the start of the NBA season to December, which had gotten a lot of pushback originally when it's, and listen, this is not a new topic. It has been brought up in years past where there was an awful lot of
Christmas
people
Day.
Like, what in the hell are you doing? Most people don't even feel like the NBA starts until Christmas anyway.
Yep.
But why would you want to compete with college football and the NFL for 2 months there, 3 months while you're, it didn't make any sense.
Like the World Series.
Right. Yeah. And Woj had come out there on their Friday or Saturday and had talked about that. Yeah. The actual merits of, and here's his tweet, the actual merits of the, of moving the start of the 2021 season are, well, they're ready now. They're ready. They're moving it till December, and it's part of the ongoing conversation that maybe, just maybe, in order to get also, and they got to keep, this is a great point, you want to keep fans or give fans the opportunity to move into buildings with you, right, and come and watch it. Well, the further you can kick that can down the road, Dane, the better off, the better chance you have. So whatever happens for the remainder of this year, it's going to be without fans. So do you really want to, and I, you know, this is also smart, do you really want to start next season with the same situation, or would you rather give it enough time to be able to, you know, come to a situation where, yes, we could, season starts in December, and you know what, Dan, you can buy tickets now, you can come and see it if you like, and it really is starting to get to that particular point where you got to, even the starts of next season for any of these leagues, starting in December would give you a lot more time in order to be able to put a plan in place that would include fans, which right now you're going to finish the season without. Perception would help that fans could buy tickets and start in December.
It would, you know, but the point still remains, right? Are you sacrificing this season or are you starting to compromise next season? It's one or the other if you're trying to fit this in, because the calendar doesn't change, okay?
Right.
You know, months are still 30 or 31 days long. You're not buying an extra 2 weeks out of thin air. It ain't happening, right? So either you're compromising the end of this season and all of the kind of league business sequence that has to happen, or you're pushing into next year, one or the other. And so, you know, we've talked about this. You're right. Like, these have been proposals out there before, because in October, November, are people really caring about the NBA and the start of the regular season anyway? Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that it may be valid. They just have to figure it out. And as I always say, Joe, the devil is in the details. And now they're starting to get to the point where they're realizing where these other level of details start to conflict with each other.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind, too, the idea of moving the start of the season is good, but that also means that players would be giving up their summers, which they have grown accustomed to liking there over the years. But at the same time, you're also increasing the possibility of ratings going through the roof if you're starting in December. And basically all you're going to have to compete with is Major League Baseball for a lot of that time in between. If football's over, right, college football, bowl games, national championship, that would also eventually lead to more money for players. And I got to believe that players, they're pretty straightforward guys. While it would be nice to have your summers off, the ability to be able to make more money because you pushed the season and started it in December, I think, is also something I don't know that they'd get a ton of pushback. The real question becomes all of those networks that carry Major League Baseball and, you know, yeah, all the regionals. What are you going to do when you got NBA now and Major League Baseball together?
But also, are these owners going to be cool with, you know, sacrificing 10, 20 home dates, you know, and the gate, right? Because if you start in December, the season is no longer 82 games. It's, you know, 60 games. It's 50 games.
Oh, no. They're talking the whole season. So they're talking about shifting it from where you play your 82 games, but you're going to be playing through the summer as opposed to crowning a champion in June and having, you know, July, August, and, you know, September to yourself. Yeah, that ain't going to happen anymore. But again, your only competition is Major League Baseball. So would somebody prefer to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Kansas City Royals? And that's, you know, the networks who carry local baseball teams and have those. Sure. And we know those contracts are monstrous. What do you do now if you've got to carry both an NBA team and a Major League Baseball team? And oh, yeah, which is a better ratings grabber?
Yep, and that is why, again, all these things need to be collaboratively decided, because what you're talking about, sure, maybe the owners or the players are like, oh, yeah, I can get some more money. And the networks, maybe TNT, though, or, you know, NBC, whoever it is like, yeah, but we don't like this move.
Yeah,
because this is not actually a value add for us, because we have other programming generating the same level of advertisement. So what you're describing is an example, a case study of the same damn point I continue to make, that they all have to be at the table to figure out the solution. This example, yeah, maybe the players like this part, but not this part. Maybe the owners like this part, but not this part. But then what about the networks, right? So, I mean, again, they've all got to be at the table. These unique circumstances will generate some kind of creative solution. It's not going to be great for everybody, but they are going to have to collaborate and figure it out.
No, and they're also already talking about certain players, even when they come back, going to be very limited in what they're going to do. And now names like Zion are being tossed around, and Steph Curry. And, you know, they're saying that Zion might be limited.
Pelicans really need him to play. Yep. Are they chasing the championship? So what is the value? What is it? What's the reason for him going out there and risking injury 18 times?
Any of them, for that matter. And it's certainly, you know, as we've discussed, it's not like it's a revenue generating situation. There's really no monetary value for teams or players, for that matter, to risk anything by bubbling them up and traveling there. I mean, somebody's got to pay for all of that. And who the hell's going to do it? I mean, it ain't going to happen for free. And a lot of teams have already lost hundreds of millions of dollars here around the league. So the idea that a team is just going to be like, you know what? Go play some games quick. We'll just tack on another $25 million. What the hell's the difference? Risk your star players getting hurt. And none of it is. It's still a long way away. I do think the playoffs would work, but the idea of finishing this season and risking anything is going to be very interesting to see how Adam Silver navigates those waters. So more to come up next with the storylines and headlines from the
Pharrell. DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
sportsgrid.com, the early line. Thank you very much for stopping by, hanging out as we get ready, trying to put the pieces together here in the month of May. Hopefully get ourselves a little action here. We know it's coming here. We certainly know that UFC is going to give us an opportunity. NASCAR is going to give us an opportunity. Horse racing continues to give us an opportunity. We do have some overseas baseball that I know a lot of degenerates have been dabbling into. Good for them. But we're all kind of waiting patiently to see what's going to happen here with Major League Baseball. And we talked about the NBA's chances and opportunities and some of the things that need to happen there over the, and pretty much this month. Like, it needs to be settled now, like sooner rather than later here. And Major League Baseball is no different. Now, a few things have happened here over the last couple of days in Major League Baseball, which kind of shine a light on what we might be able to expect. And one of those things, of course, was, you know, it's not only the players, Dane, that that have to figure out with the owners what happens to the losses and pay and those types of things, but also the umpires. Let's face it, the umpires are, yeah, they got their own deal. They got their own situation, and they get paid, too. So apparently behind the scenes, and this is all good news, too, as well, that I believe it was Bob Nightingale, the USA Today, reported that the umpires association have agreed to modify the collective bargaining agreement, which, of course, dictates how much umpires get paid in a season. And so it looks like they figured it out. Umpires are willing to take a 30% pay cut in order to be able to get the season underway. And that's interesting, too, because if you're looking at 30%, and by the way, umpires make, and this was an interesting thing, too, that Nightingale put in the report, they make anywhere from $110,000 to $450,000, Dane. That's what umpires make a season. So
not bad.
Not but if I'm doing the math right, when you're looking at about a 30% pay cut, we are looking at a situation where we're probably right around that 100-game mark. I mean, that kind of seems like that would be, because that's kind of what we're at now, right? I mean, by the time we're going to get back, you're looking at missing probably about 30% of the season. So I think it's kind of telling, if you read between the lines, that looks like umpires are willing to take a 30% haircut. And the reason being is probably because they're looking at a 100-game season if all goes well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in middle school, right, they taught me how to cross-multiply and figure out ratios, and that's what we're talking about here, Joe, right? So out of 162 games, 30%. I'll round off 30% to be 33 and a third percent to be a third. I'm going to round 162 games down to 150. A third of that away leaves you with 100 games. So that means we're right in around the 33, 30, 35%, where if we're prorating the season, right, then to prorate all of the financial factors that go along with the season, sounds like we're talking the same language in terms of games and the kind of on the hook for what everybody would have to sacrifice.
And this is continues to be, and of all the sports, it really does feel and seem, and all the stories that we're getting, that baseball seems to be, a lot of folks are very confident that baseball will be back in some capacity, whether it be 80, 90, 100 games, that baseball will be played. And they're dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's right now. And it does look like, of course, we're still looking at about 3 weeks of spring training. We're still looking at the ability for probably a late June, early July start to the season and kind of go straight through. And that would probably put us, if straight through, Dane, would probably be November, I guess, would be the World Series somewhere in
the going into November,
going into November, which would be nice. And, you know, now we've also found out that people like, I don't know, Mitch McConnell, like what U.S. senators and people are calling Rob Manfred and suggesting that the sooner baseball get back, the better it is for everybody. So it appears that you have, and again, we talked about the ability to be able to get that cloud cover, that support,
right,
in order. So when that pushback comes or when that blowback happens there, you've got other people, much much more important and higher people than you, in order to be able to cover your own ass. And it appears that's happened. Listen, they want baseball back.
And they are willing to do pretty much whatever it is necessary. And it seems that when you get umpires on the same page, owners, players, they are almost there as well. Locations. Yeah, they are. They're ready to rock and roll. So baseball, I still like baseball to come back. I'm still not convinced with the NBA. I'm really not, for a lot of the reasons we just discussed, but I do think baseball, somewhere between that 80 to 100 game mark, whether it means anything or not in the scope of things, the fact of having baseball is something a lot of people feel they need to get back on television, back for people to be able to enjoy for a whole lot of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we take that leap, Joe, mm-hmm. let's spin this forward a little bit more, because another thing I saw in the Nightingale proposal, right, that we are now kind of like judging by and are almost treating as valid and true. So if we work on this assumption, the way I saw it, Joe, was that the AL and NL West would kind of be merged as one division, right?
Yes. Yep.
The AL and NL East would kind of be merged as one division. The AL and NL Central would kind of be merged as one division. I think there was a swap in there. Maybe the Braves and Pirates
right.
would swap. There might have been one or two others. So I'd like to get ahead of this, Joe. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get ahead of this because our friends at FanDuel, you know, we don't know how many games they're going to be. So right. the win totals are down. You know what they are doing, though, in the futures market is win percentages.
That's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
And
yeah.
those win percentages, in the same way you were just talking about the 30% for the umpires and right. the 30% for the games, you are able to prorate a winning, a number of wins in a season to a winning percentage, no okay. matter if it's 162, 120, 145, 80, 100, 75, whatever the case may be. And I find it ironic, Joe, that what they've done so far is literally just taken the win total that a team used to have and converted it to a percentage out of 162. Right. That's what they've done, okay? So if yep. your win total was 81, now your win total, your win percentage future is 50.
Right.
Okay? And working off of that. I believe, Joe, we can get ahead of this and give all the listeners and viewers and fans of the Early Line and of Sports Grid, we can give them value, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because if those were winning percentages, and we already know if we're believing the Nightingale proposal, right? If we believe that that's what's kind of coming down the pike, then I think we can get ahead of this, Joe. And mm-hmm. I'd like to try to find some value with you. All right. So, for example, Joe, mm-hmm. the Baltimore Orioles, right? Sure. They have a certain winning percentage out there under the assumption of what their schedule was going to be.
Okay.
Now, though, they're going to see a lot more of the Washington Nationals, a lot more of the New York Mets, a lot more of the Philadelphia Phillies. The NL East is a good division, Joe, right?
Great.
There's like four teams, right, that could be real contenders. I think that makes the season outlook for these AL East teams
right.
harder.
Yes.
It makes me want to bet the under mm-hmm. on those teams, right? Because now all of a sudden, the Boston Red Sox, okay, maybe they were not as good as Tampa or right. the Yankees, but they were as good as the Blue Jays and the Orioles. Well, now you bring in these other four teams into the division, it's a harder road to hoe. So I think I want to go under on the Red Sox for that kind of reason. Maybe a team in the NL Central that now has to see a right. lot more of the dregs of the AL Central, I'd be more likely to bet, oh, I don't know, the Cubs over or the Reds over because
right.
now they're going to get a lot of Royals on their schedule. They're going to get a lot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So do you
yep.
think there are ways to get ahead of this and find value given what we are thinking of the Nightingale proposal and what your opponents might be?
It's interesting because what do you think? And let's be, if we play 100 games, keep it rounded, right? If we got 100 sure. games on the season.
Sure.
How many what's the team who is going to be the number one seed? How many games are they winning of that 100, realistically, do you think?
Is 60? It,
all right, so we're looking at maybe, so 60% of a team's
yeah.
games, they'd have to hit, so what would guarantee them, you figure, 60
yeah,
wins, probably? Right,
mm-hmm.
so 60 yeah. and above, and is there
sure.
a shot that, not knowing, of course, and again, because you're talking about 100, and this is the interesting breakdown of it, is what do you do with Garrett Cole, for instance? Because I doubt very much you're going to use Garrett Cole in the same way that you would have. I think there's going to be a lot of starting pitchers that expanded rosters. They ain't going five innings, Kane. So they ain't going to be along those lines, which means
I hear that
bullpens are going to be way more
that,
important
Joe.
For
but
games like that.
Things, but those are things that are the case for everybody, right?
Right.
In this proposal, the schedule is a huge different factor, right?
Because Absolutely.
Right. But in this proposal, you're only playing your division.
Right.
Okay. So that means every team's schedule is dramatically different than what we thought it was going to be 2 months ago. And yes, you're right. The change to the idea of stretching pitchers out or innings limits for those pitchers, we talked about those. Right. But literally, just the schedule. If you are playing only the Eastern Division or only the Western Division, as opposed to having to play 18 games against that division and the rest against the AL Central and the AL West, that is a dramatic difference for the outlook of teams. Not just the idea of, oh, Garrett Cole will be stretched out or these innings limited or that sort, or how we use the bullpen. If this proposal is in place, the strength of schedule for teams dramatically change. And there's a way to get ahead of that.
Yeah, but so does how you approach it. Because I'm in an Eastern Conference, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. If I have teams that have better middle relievers, I have teams with better relief pitchers, they had great starters, but you know what? They're not going to use the starters like they would in 162 games. So teams that we think would get crushed in this format because of we're still basing it on 162 game season, you can't, which means now there are going to be teams that are going to be a hell of a lot better because of the way they're constructed in 100 game season based upon the facts than 162 normal game season.
So
if
give
you
me
thought
an
a team was going to win 80 games in 162 season, okay, yeah, well, in 162 game season, if they played just this schedule, yeah, the really good teams would probably be really, really good, and the really bad teams would be really, really bad. But we're talking about not the same game. We're talking about a different game. It's coached, different game, it's rostered, different everything, which means those middle-of-the-road teams that if everything was equal and they had great starting pitching, but the bullpen was going to be iffy, but hey, listen, if they could get seven or eight out of their starting pitchers, they're probably going to win more games than Lou. Now, all that goes out the windows if guys like Garrett Cole and Verlander, if he comes back, pitch four or five innings. And then now you're talking about doubleheaders. You're talking about teams that are loaded with certain position players and middle relievers and the ability to go to the bullpen. They're probably going to do a hell of a lot better than most people thought based upon 162 game season, but 100 in a condensed and multiple players, there are rosters, I am sure, that just look at Major League Baseball last year after 100 games. Are we talking about the same teams that were in the playoffs after 162 last year? The answer is absolutely not. We never are. Why? Because 162 game season favors certain clubs built certain ways. 100 game season, those same teams, same division, same everything, all of a sudden, they look like world beaters after 100, but you know what? They're not built for 162. Same scenario there when you're looking at 100 games. I don't care who they play, the way they are constructed, some teams are going to do a hell of a lot better for a 100 game season than what they would have in 162. Is it 20% more? Is it 30% more? I think you're going to have teams that are going to win. There's going to be a few teams in this scenario that are going to win 80 games. It's going to happen.
So here's the thing, right? What I'm talking about in the schedule, the changing of the strength of schedule, that's one thing, right? What you're talking about is how some other teams may be built that they can leverage a 100-game season better than others. Great. What I'm saying, Joe, is given that, let's try to get ahead of it. Let's try and find out some teams where this is an advantage for, and let's try and find out some teams where this is a disadvantage for, because the fact that's the same here is that FanDuel is hanging winning percentages that are just prorated off of the win totals.
Right.
They have not adjusted based on what I'm saying in the scheduled divisions or what you're saying, the difference.
So what is the Yankees percentage?
What's
the Yankees percentage? What's the Yankees percentage? Who was scheduled to win 105 games. So what exactly is the Yankees winning percentage?
62%, okay?
62%.
And so what I'm saying is, let's use this as an example.
Are they the most?
I'll bring it up. I don't see many above 62.
Okay.
Like, for example, I'll tell you the Dodgers.
are 62.5.
All right, so 62% of their
games. Houston, who is probably the next highest win total, let's say.
Okay.
Or Atlanta. Atlanta's at 56. So, no, you don't have any other 600 ball teams.
You don't have
here.
Any. Okay.
I'll check Houston because that's the only one I can
think
of.
So you're basically talking 62 and 38.
They're at 50, right? They're at 58.5 for Houston. So what I'm saying though here, Joe, is, and I think we're not, you know, arguing with each other. We're kind of saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. I agree. The changing schedule, the merging of divisions is one thing to take into consideration, right? What you're talking about, teams may be better built for 100 games, is another thing to take into consideration. So because they haven't changed the odds or the bets or the totals on FanDuel, let's use those considerations and get ahead of it and see where there's value.
So
let's see if...
What's a 62% win on 162 games? How did they come to this 62%? If it was a 162-game season, what is 62%? What's 62% of that? What would that be? 100 wins? What are they saying?
It's got to be. I mean, I have to whip out my calculator.
It would be 80 wins. No, it wouldn't be, because 80 wins would be what? 50%, right?
50%. 500 ball on 162-game season is 81 wins.
All right. So they're saying more. So they're saying 90 wins, somewhere around that? Is that what we're looking at? 60%
of that? Here's the best way for me to do it. Here's the best way for me to figure it out, right? In a kind of basic math, and we're doing math live on air here, right? Like 10% of 162, that's 16 games. That's 10%,
that's
okay, Joe?
Right.
Right. So to go from a 500 ball, which we know is 81.
So we're talking 97
to 600
wins,
ball.
Right. Okay.
We're talking 81 plus 16.
Right.
97. So a team that had a straight up 97 win total would be a 600% winning percentage.
Right.
The Dodgers and the Yankees were just over that. So it's a little bit more than 97.
So they're basically
we're talking like
saying,
99 or 101.
So they
and
basically
that's why
kept
it, is
it the same.
Way.
Yeah. They basically kept it the same.
That's what I'm saying. They have kept it the same. That's the point I'm...
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.